This episode is sponsored by Targeted Tax Relief. If you owe the IRS money, work with Targeted Tax Relief and get that burden hanging over your head all sorted out.
Call Targeted Tax Relief now for a free consultation. The number is 888-843-4113. And did we mention it is free?
Targeted Tax Relief specializes in resolving really tough issues with the IRS. Tracy is an enrolled agent, and she can directly negotiate with the government on your behalf and work on a debt resolution settlement so you can be done with it and stop worrying every day when you go to your mailbox.
Call Tracy and her team at Targeted Tax Relief today. Again, the number is 888-843-4113. It is confidential and secure. Call now or go to targetedtaxrelief.com.
Welcome to Vegas Revealed, episode 124. It's a star-spangled holiday weekend on the Strip, but how do the patriotic festivities in Vegas compare with other cities? We reveal our city's strengths and where we could improve some.
Then, what does Britney Spears do during a fun Vegas visit? You'll find out today.
And I'm all shook up over the new Elvis movie. Hear my personal review and the role Las Vegas plays in the film.
Plus, Resorts World turns one, and they now have a stop on the Vegas Loop.
That's exciting. And some technology upgrades at Strip Resorts, too, also celebrating a classic casino game.
There is a lot to get to. Let's get started and spin that wheel.
Welcome to Vegas Revealed, episode 124. It is a 4th of July long weekend, and you know what that means, Sean. They're all coming into town.
Well, they're all coming into town if their flights aren't canceled.
True.
Because that's been a big problem for this holiday weekend, and really something that people are going to be experiencing all summer long as they try and have a little bit of a getaway, is how do I get there and how do I get back without any issues?
I know. It's like you have to build in a buffer now, right?
You do.
Because you don't want to miss a day of work, or you need to get back for something, or you want to, you know, you're supposed to leave on a certain day and then you can't leave for a day or two later. So you got to build in that buffer.
Yeah. Just plan on your original flight not making it.
How frustrating.
I know.
It is terrible. But that is the world we're living in, and at least more people are traveling in order for there to be cancellations.
That right? is very true. Yeah. Travel is in demand, and so is Las Vegas. I've been hearing from my sister is in town right now from the East Coast, and she said on all the news stations there, they just kept talking about 4th of July travel, and Las Vegas was like one of the top destinations where people were going.
I mean, why not? We have it all, right? We have great firework displays, too. Caesars Entertainment is doing fireworks on the Strip. Then we have the Plaza downtown doing a show at 9 p.m. in the downtown area. And then all our station casinos, which are really planted all over the valley around Las Vegas. They always do a great show. They're doing fireworks at 9 o'clock, too.
And these are all on Monday, July 4th. Obviously, 4th of July is when you would have 4th of July fireworks. But, you know, I always wondered if I've been wondering if there were going to be fireworks spread all throughout the weekend. Of course, there's going to be illegal fireworks being set off, which isn't a very good idea here in Las Vegas right now because it is so hot and dry. And that could really spark some nasty fires.
We've had like a couple days where there was like monsoon activity for like 2 hours and a little sprinkle here and there, but that's been about it, right?
Yeah, it kind of evaporates almost immediately.
So many of you may be listening to this after the 4th of July, but we wanted to touch on 4th of July a little bit. And I found this survey really interesting. Pass it on to Sean. And we thought the list of reasons that we are officially 2022's fifth best city to celebrate the 4th of July. Interesting list. Though, Sean, apparently 84% of Americans plan to celebrate the 4th this year, and collective food and spending for the holiday is projected to reach, get the $7.7 billion.
Wow.
I know. Wallet Hub always does great surveys, so they put us in fifth place, and apparently they kind of take a look at like the 100 largest U.S. cities based on how well they balance holiday cost and fun. So we ranked in a number of categories.
Okay.
And so you have the list in front of you now, and let's go through some of these. So we ranked number one in legality of fireworks, which I thought was interesting because we do have firework booths. And remember, you and I grew up in Rochester, New York. We never had that.
That is true. That's right.
I thought it was weird when I moved here. I'm like, you can buy fireworks in the parking lot?
We always had like those little snaps.
Yeah.
Those little snap things that you throw on the ground and they pop, the little popper things.
Right, right.
We always had those. But yeah, I guess we never really, I did have family members though had a cottage at the lake, and somehow there would be a shed full of fireworks that would miraculously appear for the 4th of July.
Exactly.
I don't know where they came from. I don't know who brought them, but the fireworks mysteriously appeared.
Well, those kind of fireworks are still illegal here, like you mentioned.
It's
too dry. It's dangerous. But I think they almost hope that if we sell these safe and sound fireworks, that people will buy those, get their fix, you know, and they sell them in booths all across the valley. And usually it's the money goes to charity for different organizations. You'll see the Boy Scouts out there and Boys and Girls Club and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, but all of these fireworks, they're very low to the ground. They don't shoot off into the air like the stuff that you see from the casino displays or for other major displays. It's, you know, it's like a tube that you light and sparks fly out the top. They make noises. They pop. But it's not going to be anything that, like, flies up in the air and sets your tree on fire.
Right. But I guess the fact that we sell them put us first on the list.
Okay. So,
and then we're also first on the list for prevalence of affordable 4.5 plus star restaurants. That makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, if people want to go out and eat on 4th of July, we've got the top restaurants, and a lot of them are really good, apparently. Then we landed in fifth place, and the number of 4th of July festivals and performances that we have going on. So they're probably taking into account that we have, you know, great firework displays, but we also have shows all over the town, you know,
right,
our normal shows.
And if you go off the strip a little bit, one of the best parades all year is the Summerlin Patriotic Parade.
It is.
And that is, I mean, they have like Macy's style balloons and floats. It's really, really well done. If you get up in the morning, head out and catch that, because it really is a great parade.
Hey, I think that starts at 9 a.m. on the Monday of 4th of July. So we came like middle of the road on duration of fireworks show, which I thought was interesting. And I recently did a Vegas On show where we talked about the length, and it was, I think we said they were 13 minutes. So
right.
I don't know. Apparently that's, other cities do it longer.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know. 13 minutes. I think it's pretty good.
It's a pretty solid display.
Yeah. And then 55th, we came in for walkability, which makes sense. We aren't a very walkable town unless you walk up and down the strip.
True.
46 for the average beer and wine prices. Okay. Yeah, well, we're up there.
Unless you come to my backyard and grab some Costco beer out of the cooler.
Exactly. And then we came in 13th for lowest price of 3-star hotel rooms. Interesting. That's kind of toward the top.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, you know, our really fancier hotels or highly rated hotels are really expensive, but the other ones are somewhat affordable. So that's good to know.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good to see, though. We rank in the top 50% in almost all categories, and a lot of them, a handful of those, are up in the top 20, which is great.
Yeah. So welcome, everyone, for 4th of July. If you're here, enjoy our fun stuff that we always have going on, and then, of course, all our great fireworks displays and the Summerlin Parade that'll be going on to celebrate.
So, of course, we're going to have visitors for 4th of July, but we just had a very famous visitor who decided to do something fun while here on the Strip. Britney Spears returned to Las Vegas. She's been seen around town quite a bit lately, Dana.
I know. You and I keep mentioning that, and you even brought up in a podcast previously that Britney Spears has been spending a lot of time at Resorts World, and you think maybe she's going to ink a deal there at some point.
I would not be surprised if Britney Spears pops on the list of entertainers at Resorts World, which already includes Carrie Underwood, Katy Perry, Luke Bryan, David Blaine now, eventually Celine Dion when she gets back and ready to perform. So
yeah.
Britney would be in good company.
Right. They're doing a Journey show there, too. They had Michael Bublé. I mean, the list is getting longer.
It is.
And some of them are return, and then others are doing kind of spurts, so yep. or one-offs even. I think Journeys is a few days. So anyway, yeah, we'll see what happens with Britney. That could be really interesting. But she was in town recently, and she put on her Instagram something that I actually noticed right away. I went, I've been there. But she was over at the Omega Mart, which is at Area 15, and she was having some fun. You know that secret door they have in the mart there that you can open up? It looks like a freezer door.
A drink cooler, right. Yeah.
And then you can go back through these tunnels and all sorts of other stuff. Yeah, so she did a little Instagram story on that. So, and she had actually written, playing in Vegas, as she twirled right into the little secret tunnel there.
And it's funny, I was trying to explain to my sister the other day what exactly Omega Mart is, and I did a terrible job explaining it.
Well,
she was horribly confused after I got done, and I was like, you know what? It's just one of those things you need to go see and experience. It's beyond explanation.
It is. You and I had a chat with the public relations person there once before, and she was like, I even have a hard time explaining it. So, and that's my job. But speaking of Resorts World, they just celebrated their one-year anniversary. I can't believe it's been a year already.
I know.
Since that grand opening party, which was fabulous. Can you believe it?
No.
Unreal. They have been, you know, just plugging away at adding new things. They've opened a lot of restaurants over there. For people that don't know a lot about Resorts World, it combines three Hilton brands, the Hilton, the Conrad, and Crockford's, and it's all under one roof. So it kind of makes it a little bit different than other strip casinos. And they've also apparently hired around 5,000 workers, which is great, mm-hmm. creating jobs over the last year. Like you mentioned, we have a lot of headliners there now, a lot of different shows, the theaters open, Zouk Nightclub seems to be doing well, so all that stuff really great. And they really have a lot of like interactive things that they do there, a lot of pop-ups and little festivals, and just they seem to be doing things a little bit different.
Yeah, they had a big Mezcal festival over there. I know that it's turning into a hot spot for weddings as well. There have been several high-profile athletes, NHL athletes mm-hmm. mostly, that I've seen who have gotten married over there.
Okay.
So, you know, those private events, they're doing a lot of those, which is great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the restaurants are opening. Carver Steak has opened up. I know Brezza, the Italian restaurant over at Resorts World, is celebrating its anniversary mm-hmm. as well. So it's exciting for all who have been involved in opening the new property, because it is not often, we mentioned this in previous episodes, it is not often that you get to open a Las Vegas resort from the ground up.
Right.
This isn't just, you know, revitalizing an existing resort. Mm-hmm. This is new construction from the ground up. And, you know, it does take some time to get things the way that you want it. When you have a new property, the way you open maybe isn't necessarily the way that you're going to continue operating. Mm-hmm. So it's an evolution.
It is.
So congratulations to everyone involved, because that is a big undertaking.
Beautiful property, though. I do love it. But you were just down the road over at the Mirage recently. You mentioned your sister's in town, and you guys went and stayed at the Mirage for a couple days just to have a little staycation, have some fun, give her the Vegas experience.
Yeah, and you know what I thought was really cool? This is the first time I've stayed at an MGM Resorts hotel casino mm-hmm. since the pandemic. And I know that we did an episode where we spoke with somebody from MGM Resorts, and they talked about all of the touchless technology mm-hmm. that's going into all of their resorts on the Strip. And so this was my first time experiencing that. Basically, there's an app that you download that links to your hotel reservation. You no longer have to go to the front desk to check in. You check in on the app, and it sends you an alert when your room is ready. It tells you where your room is. You hit a little button on the app, and it turns your phone into your room key. So you hold the back of your phone up to the sensor on the door, and it unlocks your door for you.
Oh,
so
cool.
Gone are the days when you have to fumble around looking for the room key, doing all that. It's all on your phone.
Love it.
And
that
it's great. What I did want to do, though, is get an actual hard copy room key for my sister. She was staying on a different floor, mm-hmm. and the way they have the elevators, you can only go, you have to hold your room key up to hit a button to make the elevator move, but you can only go to the floor where your room is, which is, I imagine, a security feature.
Okay. Yeah.
So I wanted to get a key for my sister so she could come up and down. They had a little iPad thing set up in the lobby where you just go, you hold your phone up against this iPad so it registers links to your account. They have a box of blank room keys sitting next to it. You slide it in this little slot. It makes you a key right there. And you don't have to deal with, like, the registration process. It was great. I major kudos to MGM for coming up with this technology and really doing a great job implementing it, because it was so easy to use.
Yeah, usually you walk in the lobby of any of these hotels and you see this big long line, right? So you can hop that, which is nice.
Yeah, you skip all the lines, check in, check out, all right from the app. So that was great.
And MGM has sold off the Mirage, so that hasn't gone into play yet, but that will be in a Hard Rock International at some point. But for now, it's still MGM.
For now, yeah, it's still operating as an MGM property. We also went to see The Beatles Love over that's at the Mirage. It's been a long time since I've seen that show. One of my favorites.
Yeah, it's so good.
But I was surprised to see that they have made a lot of changes to the show.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the acts are different. It seemed, based on what I remember, it seemed like some of the songs, some of the music selections have been moved around a little bit. So it almost felt like going to see an all new show, which was
great.
Fun.
That is fun. I love when they change it up. And I think it's important because there are people who love shows, but they're like, should we go again if they return to Las Vegas? Because we loved it so much, or should we try something new? But at least they know if they're going to go back in a few years that things might be changed, like you said. And it's, you know, there's pieces of it that are still the old show, but a little bit of the new.
Yep. But you know what? On the opposite end of the spectrum, I'm digressing here. I recently went to do a video shoot over at O at Bellagio, another Cirque du Soleil show. It's been around for almost 25 years, and it has not changed once.
Wow.
They haven't changed any of the numbers. The cast changes out, but they said, you know what? This is a formula. It's a show that works. People keep coming back.
Okay.
And to this day, it is still one of the most popular shows on the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah, that show is beautiful to witness. So maybe they're just figure, yeah, like you said, people are coming back. We're not noticing a dip in crowds. So,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So The Beatles Love, that was great. Another note, just a tip here. If you are staying at the Mirage and you're planning to get out to the pool, make your plans early. When we were out getting coffee in the morning, there was a line waiting to get out to the pool before it opened up. I think it opens at 8 a.m. There was a line wrapped around over by the Mirage Theater to get out to the pool and snag some lounge chairs. So keep that in mind.
It's funny.
The early birds will wake up and get those chairs.
It's funny you say that. My brother and his wife used to stay there all the time because I think they honeymooned there. And so they would always go to the Mirage whenever they would come into Las Vegas. And they said the same thing. They like, it's really hard to get a chair. And the chairs are lined up like literally right next to each other all in a row. So it's hard to even get in and out. But they try and fit as many people as they possibly can to make everyone comfortable. But yeah, that's definitely a pool that fills up quick and you got to grab your chair.
You do. You do. But it was a great stay.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, it's been a while since I've actually stayed over at the Mirage, so I'm glad you had a good experience there. It sounds like it was fun.
It was. It was really nice. And Dana, you have ventured out a little bit on the Strip as well.
Yeah, I did. And we've talked about all these things that I did before, but I'm just going to run through a couple notes that I noticed. The aft cocktail deck. That is the old parasol down at Wynn Las Vegas. We talked about how they revamped the deck. They added some booths and umbrellas. It's absolutely gorgeous. Went out there to meet some friends for drinks. We weren't sure because we were meeting at 6, and I was like, it's going to be really hot. It was like, you know, lately it's been like, what, 104, 105?
Yeah, it's still warm.
So at 6 p.m., that's...
warm. It's hot.
Hot, yeah. So we were like, well, let's try the patio and see what it's like, expecting it to be, you know, with the sun blaring and just super hot. Anyway, that area by 6 p.m. is all shaded, A. B, I don't know if they were blowing in cold air, but it was not hot at all. It was just... it was so comfortable. We were like, wow, this is amazing. And then
really?
With the waterfall and the water feature, there's like a humidity, almost like a rainforesty smell and feel. So it was absolutely comfortable. My friend showed up with a sports jacket on. He was fine. I mean, it was great to sit out there and have cocktails. So do not let the 100-degree heat deter you from going to the aft cocktail deck at the Wynn. It's perfect.
Do you know what I wonder? You know how they've built up almost like stadium seating? We've talked about this. It's almost like stadium seating out there at aft, where they have booths, like banquettes, that are built up on different levels. I wonder if they have like air conditioning piped in through those platforms that they built up.
Yeah, I think they do, for sure. And I don't think it was like too much. Like, it wasn't like freezing or cold, but it was like just enough to keep it cool in there.
That's great.
So, I mean, that could definitely be what they did. But we were like, wow, this is so comfortable. I didn't expect it. Also traveled to Circa and went to Barry's again for dinner. It was amazing. Love to see Chef Barry. I love how he stops at the tables. It's so great. But when I went in there, it was a Saturday, and 9 o'clock we had a reservation. We were doing like a late, just, we didn't even like eat like a full dinner. We were just going to have some drinks and eat like a bunch of stuff and share it.
Yep.
But it was packed in there, and I love to see that. The vibe in there is so good. So if you're looking for a fun restaurant, but also good food, but still old school, the best service. It just really is a great place at Circa.
And their cocktail cart is
great.
Primo.
Yes. Then we went up to the Legacy Club, and I had never been up there at night. We went for the Derby party.
The Kentucky Derby,
But it wasn't dark out.
Right.
So went up there at night. The patio was great. We sat outside. Great view of all of Las Vegas, and that was really fun, too. So nice time over at Circa. And then I also wanted to get to this. Something else I did involved just sitting in a movie theater again. We already talked about Top Gun, but now I finally saw the Elvis movie.
So if you don't know, Dana Roselli is a massive Elvis Presley fan. So when we saw that this new Elvis movie by Baz Luhrmann was coming out, it was like, right up there. This is the summer of Roselli. She had Tom Cruise and Top Gun coming out in theaters, and Elvis, her two top favorites, having movies in the same summer. So,
but I'm a little skeptical whenever I see there's going to be an Elvis movie, because like we've talked about before, I have not found, first of all, an incredible Elvis documentary that I absolutely love, and I haven't seen like a biopic that I absolutely love either. So I'm always like a little like, I don't know, am I going to like it or am I going to be disappointed? So I wasn't sure. This started getting really great reviews.
It did.
So I'm going to tell you what I thought in just 1 second. Wanted to mention, I went to Brendan Theaters at the Palms, and I hadn't been there yet. The recliner seats are amazing, and the first section in the front is in front of the screen, but the second part, it kind of lifts up. So the view is like you're literally in front of the screen. I loved the theater layout. I love what they've done over there.
FYI.
Yep. Get on like, you know, in order, you know, reserve your seat ahead of time. It was perfect. They have these like electric reclining chairs. They're red, like a red leatherish feel. It was great.
Good to know.
Love the new theater.
Can you order food directly to your seat? Any concessions?
I don't know, because I got popcorn on the way in. That could be something that they do. I think they do have alcohol there now. Yep. And I don't know if they did before.
I don't think they did.
Okay. I think they have a bar. So there's that. I don't know about the ordering to the seats thing. I'll have to look into that.
I'll make a return. I'll make a trip over there and test that out.
Okay. Well, anyway, Elvis didn't love it, but I feel bad because everyone's loving it.
So what was it about the Elvis movie that just didn't sit right with you?
Yeah, and I went with a friend, my friend Matt Goss, our friend Matt, who's a performer on the Strip, singer, you know, all that kind of thing. So it was interesting to hear his take, my take, but we both felt exactly the same. A, it was too slow at the beginning. And the way that they unveiled Elvis, it was like they kept showing him from the back and you thought there was going to be this big, I don't know, it just didn't. And then they just kind of slowly incorporated him in. I did not love Tom Hanks as Colonel Parker. Like, we were saying we wish it would have been an unknown actor, because you kept looking at him going, well, wait, is this Tom Hanks? Or is it? And he had kind of a strange accent. And it just didn't feel right. I don't know. And then he kind of narrates so it's basically almost told through his story.
Okay.
Because he basically starts off by saying, a lot of people think I'm the one that killed Elvis, as in the people who drove him to his death.
Right.
And I contributed to that. And then he says, but that's not true. And then he tells his story. But you can make your own conclusion to that by all the facts that are in the movie. You know, still, you wonder, facts or fiction. We don't necessarily know, but or fictionized, you know, some of the facts. But anyway, so it's told through him. Didn't love Tom Hanks in that role. I thought the main actor that played Elvis, I'm blanking on his name, Brandon. Oh my gosh, he's adorable, by the way. I keep seeing him everywhere in Entertainment Tonight and all sorts of different places. Everyone keeps saying he's definitely going to get an Oscar. His acting was fabulous.
Austin Butler.
I knew there was a B in there. Okay, in the last name. Austin Butler. He did a great job. I don't know. Like, I didn't walk out going, wow, that was an award-winning performance. I don't know. Like, he was good. Didn't love him at the beginning of the movie, but then the second half. So anyway, the second half gets way, way, way better. The first half is it's just very over-dramatized. And to a point where you're like, all right. I mean, I don't know. And I don't want to give away too much, but like his performance, like a couple of them where they like tried to like basically emulate like how the girls reacted to him.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I mean, he was like on the floor, sweat pouring everywhere. The women were like convulsing. I'm like, okay, this is just, it just was like a bit over dramatized.
But is that really what happened? Like, did women start convulsing and like
I think maybe
wetting themselves? And
I don't know, like, it literally maybe, but it was like nobody knew who he was, and then like after the second line, that was what was happening. And I'm like, they don't even...
So there wasn't a progression.
Yeah, it just didn't seem realistic.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm getting what you're okay. Laying down.
So yeah. I was like, oh, all right. We were like looking at each other like, what is happening? So anyway, second half, I'm not going to go on and on because I feel like it can get all over the place. But I'm not a film reviewer, obviously. Second half was really emotional. I think Austin did an amazing job portraying Elvis as he got a little bit older. Elvis was not old in any way because he passed away at age 42. So I'm talking when he got more into the Elvis in his 30s,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. The Las Vegas part of his career is huge in the second half.
Ooh.
For a very long, pretty much the second half of the movie, which was amazing. The International Hotel, his performance there, the stage, the workings of how the show came about. You learn so much. And how it was a little, you know, sneaky. The Colonel, you know, was like, I'm going to, you know, have Elvis on stage. We're going to do this stage show and whatever. And it was great. But they were like, well, now you need to keep him here and we need to keep him coming back because of the reaction he's getting and how he's filling these seats. But Elvis really wanted to travel internationally. But the Colonel apparently didn't want him traveling internationally because he wanted to get him up on that stage and make money. And also apparently because the Colonel had a lot of gambling debt from throwing a bunch of money into that casino. And they said, if we will excuse your gambling debt if you get Elvis up on that stage. So anyway, that's as much as I'm going to go into that because I don't want to give anything away if you don't know that part of the story. But that comes into play.
Interesting.
Okay. Elvis was overworked, tired.
Yeah.
Wasn't doing what he loved. He wanted to travel, all sorts of things that just didn't. So that's why apparently a lot of people say the Colonel pushed him pushed him over the edge. Then he felt really, wronged by his manager, the Colonel, which was like a family member to him for so many years. So, and that's where he kind of went downhill. So it's interesting. I learned a lot even more. And it was emotional. Him and Priscilla splitting up was emotional. And Las Vegas plays a huge part. So very interesting. I think people will enjoy it. I just think it wasn't the best movie that I've seen. And a lot of people say, even in my Facebook post where I commented about it, like, it's really hard to put someone who had such an incredible life for a very short amount of time. So much happened. It's hard to fit it all in a movie.
Yeah.
It just is. And it's hard to do it right. And maybe no one will ever get it right. The only person that can get it right is Elvis himself, and he's not here anymore.
True.
So.
Very true.
That's my two cents.
Well, I'm sorry that it didn't live up to every expectation and wild fantasy that you had, because I know you were so looking forward to the movie.
But I did like some of the outfits were great toward the end.
The full leather.
Yeah, it was great. He looked great. That was fun. I left happy with that. So go see the Elvis movie if you're interested in knowing more about Elvis's life.
Yeah. Well, obviously Elvis is a classic, and we have another classic that is still sticking around here in Las Vegas, talking about the Sigma Derby Horse casino game. There is only one left in the entire United States. It is right here in Las Vegas, and people are celebrating this game, and this has become, it's almost like people make a
special trip,
trip to go and play the Sigma Derby game. And if you don't know what it is set up like, it's like little mechanical horses running around a racetrack.
Right.
You don't know which one's going to win. You have your horse that you hope wins, and you know, you get paid out if your horse wins. Classic game. And I didn't realize it was originally created in 1985, which to me, in my mind, doesn't signal to me that it's a classic game, because I don't want 1985 to be considered classic.
I know. But, you know, the way slots are and all the casino games are now, they're so advanced. And some people just still like to pull the lever. But this is kind of like that. So we didn't mention it's at the D. And they're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the property Sigma Derby horse racing game. Derek Stevens, the CEO, was on hand to celebrate this. Now, apparently, he actually brought this over from the Fitzgerald Hotel and Casino when he moved it to the D in 2012, and so it's been there ever since. It's the country's only remaining Sigma Derby machine, and it's only 25 cents to play, which I think is cool too. And it's also coin operated, which is very rare for Las Vegas.
Yep.
So all those things combined, they figured, you know what, it's the 10th anniversary, let's celebrate this. And so Derek and the D did that. So I didn't even know that they had that there. So now, I mean, I definitely feel like if I'm down on Fremont Street, I'm gonna go to the D and play this game, because now I want to do it. There's five horses. You pick one, and then it goes from there, and you can win. Sounds fun.
I believe it's on the second level. Okay. There's two. There's the main gaming floor that's, you walk in right off of Fremont Street. Then you go up the escalator, and there's another gaming floor up there, and they have a lot of other coin-operated casino games up there. Oh. Some more classic games kind of surrounding the Sigma Derby game. So that's pretty cool if you want to actually, you know, hear the clinking of real coins in the casino.
And then I'm sure just like at the regular horse races, like everyone picks their horse, right? And then everyone's probably cheering on their horse. So it's probably fun to watch.
It is. It's very fun to watch. And then people are definitely invested in the outcome of the game.
Love that. We've been busy doing a lot of other things as well, so we'll get to that maybe next podcast. We've been on a lot of shoots for Vegas on, and we'll talk more about some of those and some of the behind-the-scenes stuff we've been doing. But Vegas is still kicking. It is July officially. It is hot here. It is over 100, so keep that in mind. But why don't we get to some tips, because it has to do with pool season, Sean.
And, you know, everybody, when it's 100-plus degrees, you need a place to cool off. And there's no better place to cool off than a great resort pool. And for Las Vegas locals, the Palms is now making it even easier, and they're really enticing Las Vegas locals to come out to their pool.
Yeah, it's called Soak, okay? So, and it's like a multi-level pool area they have at the Palms. They just redid it before, you know, when it closed, and now it's reopened under new owners, but now they're ready to go. The pool is open, and they have food and beverage, and apparently they have music and DJs and all sorts of stuff that you would expect at any resort pool. So what they're doing is every week, Monday through Thursday, locals get free entry into Soak. So that's kind of fun. If you want to go hit a pool, people always ask, it's one of the top questions we get, I think, as summer approaches, is like, what pools are free for locals?
Yep.
And some you can get into, some you cannot, which, you know, understandable that the guests come first.
And if you recall, a few episodes ago, just as the Palms was reopening, we spoke with Cynthia Kaiser-Murphy, who is the general manager over at the Palms. And Dana, you specifically asked, are there going to be any deals for locals out at the pool? And she was like, stay tuned, we're working on something. And guess what? That something is here.
Yeah, it is. So I love it. And also 25% off day beds based on availability too. So you get in free. And again, that's Monday through Thursday. And then Friday through Sunday. And Sean, I feel like this is a good deal too. Entry for locals to the Soak pool is $15. So that's doable.
That is. It's a nominal fee to get in, be able to spend the day at a great pool, and to have 25% off, you know, day beds as well. Mm-hmm. That's a nice perk as well.
They're also doing Dip Fridays, some themed kind of events at the pool. So keep your eyes open for that. They've got this like rubber ducky celebration happening this weekend that they're doing from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. where the East Pool is going to be filled with all these rubber duckies and marked for prizes. Isn't that fun? Like you get one and then you see what you get. They have food and drink items as well. Special entertainment, DJs, the normal food and drink, and apparently entry's free for everyone to that, to the themed kind of Dip Fridays. Other themed parties they have coming up: Super Soaked, Tiki Paradise, Cowboy Boots and Bathing Suits, and Pirates and Mermaids.
Oh, that'll be an interesting one.
So lots of fun if you want to go to Dip Fridays.
Very cool. And as we mentioned, a great way to cool off in the Vegas summer heat. And Dana, this is kind of a throwback. The next tip that you have is kind of a classic Vegas dining spot in a new location.
Right. So I didn't know about this, and I can't believe I didn't know about this. But so you and I are going to have to go check it out. FYI, we have not checked it out yet, but we plan to, because it's actually kind of close to our side of town.
Yeah, and we hear that it's delicious.
Delicious. And I'm talking about Vicky's Diner. So Vicky's Diner used to be on Las Vegas Boulevard, kind of like around the Stratosphere. There's that White Cross drugstore that's a very famous drugstore that has kind of a cool sign on the outside. It's very, I don't know what you call it, 50s looking. It's been in a lot of different movies and music videos. That closed, and Vicky's Diner used to be in that building on the corner, so Vicky had to move. And a year ago, she moved the diner, which I didn't even realize, to Commercial Center on East Sahara. And the diner's been there for a year now, and it's a 50s-themed diner, which I think is cool. I was looking at some pictures. They got, like, pink booths and pink counter chairs, and you can watch all the cooks doing their thing. And the reason I learned about it is a new resident in my building was telling me about it, and he was like, oh, you've never been to Vicky's? And I was like, no, what are you talking about? It's right down the road. So he was saying, like, the bacon is delicious.
Oh,
they, like,
gosh.
You know, it's not like repurposed bacon. Like they make it fresh, and they're great at like adding whatever you want to your breakfast. He said, like, if you want some extra onions, you tell him you want some extra onions. They put it in there for you. He loves the service. Said the breakfast is delicious. I think I looked it up. It's only open till I think 2:30 every day because it's a breakfast-ish lunch brunch place. But we have to go, and apparently it's great, and it's right there. East of the Strip, not too far from the Strip, really. It's East Sahara and Commercial Center, where there's a lot of famous things over there. Theater.
Lotus of Siam.
Lotus of Siam and some other Thai restaurants
yep.
and jewelers and all sorts of stuff. So anyway, Vicky's Diner. If you're interested in checking out, and I feel like a lot of our even tourists that come to Las Vegas,
yes.
they love a good breakfast.
Yep.
But they don't want to sometimes go like super, super fancy. They just want to go get a real breakfast with a little bit of fun. Peppermill is always a popular place. And now Vicky's Diner, I just learned about.
I think we're going to have to go and venture over there pretty soon, though.
I think
because
so, too.
Because once people hear this tip, I have a feeling Vicky's is going to be a very, very popular place.
Where was I recently where I texted you and I said, oh, I went to the Indian restaurant.
Yes, that's
was it
right.
Clove. I'm blanking on the name. Recently,
Clove, I think.
Yeah. And it was packed. And I said, when we mentioned this as a tip, the last time I went, it was not packed. And I was like, did our tip bring the people in? Should we start getting kickback?
Is there a Vegas revealed effect at play here?
The Vegas revealed effect. Oh my gosh. Speaking of that, it's down on South Rainbow. Had another great meal there. It is a great Indian restaurant. So if you want to check that out too, little reminder there, but that's a podcast. We have a lot coming up this week, though. Well, 4th of July is here. We'll have all that kind of thing. There's a lot coming up in the next couple weeks. I think things have kind of been on pause because of 4th of July, but we have a lot of different events. I know Thunder from Down Under is celebrating its 20th anniversary over there at the Excalibur. So congratulations to them. I believe they're getting a key to the Strip or key to the city as well over at the Las Vegas sign. There's some new, there's a Mexican restaurant opening at Palace Station that we'll talk about. So love to see Palace Station getting new things. And I don't know, can't think of anything else, but we have a full inbox.
There is. I was trying to mentally go through the inbox, but
I saw you concentrating.
It's funny that I have a look when I'm concentrating.
The concentrating look. Well, you enjoy the rest of your weekend with your sister who's in town.
And thank you.
We'll see everyone. Well, we won't really see you, but we'll
be back with you.
We'll be back with you and you'll hear us in a week. How about that for episode 125?
Look at that.
Oh my gosh.
Getting up there. Have a safe holiday.